Swinging Palm Trees podcast with Akin.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and in whatever time zone you might find yourself listening to this episode of the Swinging Palm Trees. My name is Akin, and good morning. And today I have on the episode a lovely, gorgeous young lady who is up early just to be on this episode. Now, I'm going to try and pronounce the name, but I know you have a pet name, but let me see if I can get this right. So bear with me for a second. I have Takshani. Oh, no. Is it Takshani? Is it Takshani?
Takshani.
Okay.
Takshani, you got it right.
Okay. Takshani, but people call you Taddy.
People call me Taddy. Well, they used to call me Taddy, but I have very much embraced my Tamil name and gone with Takshani.
Takshani, right. So have I got that right? Takshani.
Takshani, yeah.
What does that mean anyway?
If I'm correct, my mother did say to me it is one of Lord Shiva's wife's names. So his wife, all the gods have several different names. And this is part of these, one of her names is Takshani.
Ah.
So yeah, it's one of a goddess's name.
Well, first off, may I just say that you are a goddess. You are a gorgeous goddess. Take it. Don't blush.
Thank you.
So Takshani, tell us a bit about yourself.
Wow. I don't even know where to begin. Well, I'm a new mother.
Congratulations.
Who's moved to LA. Thank you. Who's moved my whole life to LA. So I think that's my main focus now in life. But before, I was a typical working mathematician who wanted to pursue music as a career. And then life changed and I fell in love and moved to America and had a baby. There you go. That's me right now.
Let's back up before we talk about motherhood and LA and all the other good stuff. Mathematics.
Mm.
What got you interested in mathematics?
That's what I was good at. That's the only thing I was good at. I just got math and then I had the option to choose what I wanted to study. There were two subjects that I was very keen on. It was art, and I was into fashion illustrations and design work, and it was mathematics. And obviously, being from my background, a South Asian woman or girl at the time, you know, a lot of pressure is you've got to find a stable career. You've got to find something that's sustainable and can make money and support your family. So, you know, I didn't choose a vocational course. I chose like an academia kind of course. I chose mathematics. And then I decided to just go with it because it was something I enjoyed. There was an option to go into art school and go into fashion illustration, Central State Martins. And my art teacher was very much for me to do it. But I took the conventional route and did a math degree. I have no regrets. I've enjoyed it. I had an amazing time at UCL. I had an incredible experience and I learned a lot. And it's made me who I am today. So I'm very proud of that. But at the same time, I don't know, maybe if I had the choice of really choosing between the two, what would I have chosen? Would be the interesting question. But I'll never know.
When you say you took the conventional path, i.e., is this a translation to your parents saying, okay, you're going to have to get yourself something which is going to work, or this is something you decided you wanted to do?
I wouldn't say they like held me against my will, but a lot of our culture is our parents. We understand the sacrifice our parents made to put us into schooling and give us a good education. So I think maybe I internalized that and I was like, I wanted to make sure I can make my parents proud and did it. But at the same time, my two options, like, I mean, at the time, I think I really wanted to do the math degree, but I don't know. I wouldn't say they've held, like they were forcing me to do it.
Of course.
But I do feel like my choices in life were because of my upbringing and like my parents and wanting to be a good child.
So what kind of maths fascinates you?
Algebra. I like the abstract stuff. I love solving equations and figuring it out and things that aren't really like black and white. So the abstracts, and they say they interlink art with mathematics anyways. There's a lot of, comparison between the two. Yeah, I just like the abstract part of it. I wasn't much in the statistics side, but I like the algebra, the pure mathematics side, which is the not so straightforward part of mathematics, the more abstract and you've got to think a little part of it.
When I was at secondary school back in Nigeria, we had to do mathematics. And then you had the teacher say, oh, by the way, there's also pure mathematics. Now, I hate maths with a passion. Seriously, I hate math. And my father-in-law, he's a doctor in mathematics. He's a doctor, PhD? Yes, he's a doctor in mathematics. Wow. And I try and steer away from any conversation. Mathematics. Basic math I can do. Okay, mm-hmm. How much money have I got? How much can I spend? You know, but all this algebra and, you know, I'm going to make up names like quantic equation. So what was your time like at UCL?
Fun. I explored a lot. I mean, I got to do a lot of shows. And so that's another thing. Even though I was studying mathematics, I definitely did like divulge in the art side of it. I did a fashion show. I like created my own line and had my mom was always like, it was always a tag team between me and my mom. My mom would always like make the clothes that I design and we'd work together. So I got to do a fashion show at Her Majesty's Theatre, which was Asian influenced, but still it had like a theme to it. I think it was Egyptian theme, but it had like, I used Asian fabrics, but recreated very ancient Egyptian kind of attire. And then I did loads of music shows. Like I performed a lot, I sang a lot. So I made loads of friends through that. And yeah, I mean, the course itself was hard, but everything else was enjoyable.
So you say that you did a lot of music shows and you did a lot of fashion stuff while you still studied your degree in mathematics. But mm-hmm. Let's look at your music for a second. Did you go to any music studies as a Tamilian?
Yes, I did Carnatic music when I was much younger. And I think before university, I'd finished that. And I did play the Verna for 6 years or 5 years, if I'm correct. So I did like a lot of classical Carnatic music. And then, but the shows that I did was very Western. Like I sang songs, as you know, I love Beyonce. And a lot. I loved other artists as well. But I had a passion to sing. Always. And so I just performed mostly Western music at that time.
All right. What was your favorite? Well, what is your favorite raga?
My favorite raga, I think, is Kalyani. And I hope you don't ask me to sing it because it's definitely not going to happen. Because I can't now. I'm just pre-warning you. That would be the worst thing to ask me right now.
I would never. You know what? I wasn't even going to say or suggest for you to sing it. But okay, now that you mentioned
no,
it.
No, I really can't. I just remembered from our conversation. I was like, oh, no, I hope he won't ask me.
Will Akin convince Taddy? Will Akin convince her to sing in Kalyani? Stay tuned to the next few seconds and find out.
Maybe in the next episode.
Okay, no, all right. That's fine. So you've mentioned that with your music, you tend to, and correct me if I'm wrong, you tend to go more Western.
Yeah, I do.
Do you take influences from your Carnatic roots or the ragas and incorporate that in the Western side, or do you just stay just Western?
No, I don't, which is interesting because I do see a lot of artists nowadays doing it. And I never felt the need to do that. I felt the two had its own place, personally. I love the fusion that people are doing. I just personally love to sing English and English, Western music in a Western way, and then Carnatic, just because there are certain songs that I feel like for example, in the Western music world, like those big ballads and stuff, like they hit you a certain way because the way it's sung and the way it's the words they use. And I feel like sometimes when you fuse those kind of music, you lose the essence of what that song is trying to say, or you lose, I think it's a hard one. It's a hard one to fuse the two and still be true to the song, if that makes sense, or what the essence of a song is.
Have you heard any songs that have managed to, in your opinion, that you think's been, this has been a good fusion of the Western and also Carnatic stylings?
Bear in mind, maybe I'm just very picky. I just want to say in advance, because I know there are loads of people that do it and have done it great. But I think for me, that someone that connected very much was, her name is Priya Raghu.
Okay.
She's quite well known now. And her one song, I think, Good Love, hit me a different way. She had an Eastern tone to her voice, but she sung the song, I think, in a Western way, if I'm correct in saying that. But she probably is one of the very few people that have managed to bridge it and still have that song connect to people, I think, personally. I don't know. Also, it's the individuals are subjective. So, like, you know, what I might like, the other person may not. So what I lean towards to is different to what other people are more, their ears are acceptable to.
So you have written a song and it's called Pretty, I can't even read my own writing, Pretty Wings.
No, that was a cover.
Oh, was it a cover? Oh, well.
That one was a cover. Yeah, that was a cover.
Have you written any songs of your own?
Yes, I had two or three songs that I wrote back in the day.
Okay. which has been your favorite? Of course, you've created all of them, but which one do you tend to hum whenever you're in, you know, whenever you're doing any own things?
I'll be honest to you, I haven't, like, played my own music or listened to my own music in a very long time.
Okay.
But if it was what I was really drawn to, I loved listening to the song that I wrote called Blue Skies. But I love performing this other song that was called Why, I think, because it was a very emotional song. It's about betrayal, and I'm very much an emotional singer anyways. But I love performing that. But Blue Skies was something that was just a pretty song.
Okay.
It's just about the simplicity of life. It's been a very long time since I have met my or spent time in my musical side of life. But yeah, that would be the song Blue Skies.
Blue Sky. I know you and your younger brother would duet a lot. Do you miss that?
Mm-hmm. A lot. It's a huge part of my life. He used to play the guitar. We used to rehearse a lot. But the older we got, and obviously changes in life, meant that I had to, like, let go of that. But it was nice. I think we'll still do it. I'm sure we'll still perform at family events and stuff together. But he's got his own career. You know, he's got his own future to look after. And same with me. But at the same time, like, that was something like a hobby for us, in the sense that we just love spending time together and making music. He might say something differently, because I was quite an, how do I say, a controlling teammate. I was like, no, it should be like this. And he would do exactly how I'd want to hear it. But bless him, younger brother.
Rules.
Yeah, Tumby. But he definitely, it was a joyful period of my life, performing my brother. It's great.
Excellent stuff.
My best friend.
It's good. I mean, if I were to do a duet with my brother has a deep baritone. So when he talks to this day, like, yeah, no, yeah. Or like
you
saying,
really do something there. That's cool. It's very rare.
So let's talk about the fashion side of things. And that's going to lead into other questions. But you've got a line called Marlini Collections.
Marlini,
yes. Collections. Talk to us a bit about that.
Well, Marlini is named after my mother. I decided to start a collection, which I am still, it's still in the back burner, but I put some things out just for a taster. But whenever I was performing, whenever I needed to go to an event, I would design something and I'd say, Mom, can you make this for me? So it's always been, you know, part of our life to create pieces. I never wanted to buy something. I always felt like, oh, it's more convenient to buy the fabric and then I can choose what I want and she can make it for me. And so I think around in my 20s, I used to design loads of sari blouses and then wear it as crops with jeans, or, you know, I love mixing the two anyways. But I used to wear different sari blouses and I'd customize it, you know, different shapes or different fabrics, etc., and then just wear it casual as well. And then
everyone would be like, oh, where'd you get your sari blouse done? And I'd be like, it's my mom. And so we decided to, or I decided to, first of all, start up a line devoted to my mother, because she's done so much and sacrificed so much for us. I just designed a couple of blouses and wanted to see what it would do, like, and what attraction it would get and whether people like it or not. So I just put that out for now. It has got a lot of attraction and people have been interested, but I haven't put forward my plans in terms of, you know, pushing that label out further and making a full collection and seeing where it'll go. But it was very much a collection that had Asian influences. Obviously I did blouses, but they were cropped, could be sold as crop tops and could be worn with jeans or they could be worn with saris. But yeah, that was the initial thought of it. And then I've got I am in the process of, you know, rebranding and making the line more focus based and just like, sorry, not focus based, but focusing it on a particular, you know, market and figuring that out right now.
I've seen on your Instagram that you do a lot of sketches as well. You illustrate what the designs are. Who's influenced you in terms of how you do your sketching?
My art teacher. when I was younger, she used to show me loads of illustrations. And then we also, even like actual designers, like, you know, Dior, Givenchy, a lot of their couture lines is what I was very much interested in. Because when they did the sketches, well, it was very elaborate, very extravagant. And, you know, she gave me the fundamentals to what I do now. And every day I choose to sketch differently, but I have a very unique way of sketching, which is very much pencil and pen and watercolors. And then I'll add watercolors on top of my paintings, watercolors, or I tend to use acrylic as well. But it starts off with pencil and pen and I do the outline of the figures and the shapes that I want to create. But it's very free-handed, which was one thing I learned from her.
Okay, so my next topic is going to be about beauty. And first off, may I just say that you are a gorgeous human being. You are beautiful.
Thank you.
And what I love about your beauty is that it has very strong Dravidian. You have a very strong Dravidian look to you. And I personally find that gorgeous. However, I know that within certain communities, within South India, and this whole idea of fair and lovely, that you've got to have look fair looking skin. Has that ever bothered you growing up, or how are you now in relation to that?
It's a huge part of my life. My entire family, other than me and my brother, are of fairer skin. Majority of them are, especially the women. So you're always internally comparing because, you know, they are light more. However, I say it like this, and I don't mean in a bad way. There are some people in the South Asian community that will hold the lighter skin above everything else. But there are also some people that truly, and I think it's an individual thing, but there are people in this world that see beauty through the heart rather than, you know, your appearance. I think in the end of the day, whether I'm light skin or dark skin, if I have a good heart and I'm good to people and, you know, you are able to leave the room and leave a presence just through, you know, speech and through conversation, etc., that's a bigger impact than anything else in this world because your beauty will fade. But growing up, you know, I did feel inferior because I was darker skin. I never liked the skin I was in. It took me a while to embrace it. But I wouldn't say my direct family's ever made me feel less because of the color of my skin. But there are people within, like you said, the community that will make comments or just, you know, say this would look better on you because you're darker. Don't wear like too many dark colors. You should wear light colors because it make you look lighter. Or don't go out in the sun. You know, you're going to get darker. And though they might not say it hurtfully and they think that they're doing me a favor, it does leave an impact. You do feel quite small. I felt very inferior for a very, very long time in my life. I was very embarrassed by my skin colour. I was ashamed. And I did try and make my skin lighter by using, but I never used Fair and Lovely because I knew the chemical imbalances in that. But I did use a lot of turmeric, which, thinking that it will make me lighter, but the essence of turmeric is an antiseptic. It just clears your skin, really, rather than making it lighter. It just makes it clearer. But I did go through the motions of that and trying to make myself look a bit more lighter. But also, like, within, it wasn't just the South Asian community. Like, my whole circle, where I had, like, my friendship circle were predominantly Black. And all you see, like, in their culture was the same thing too. Like, if you see a mixed race girl, they are more favored. And it's always been like that. And then the industry itself, the music industry, at that time, all these rappers and all these video vixens were light skinned. So you automatically do not think you're good enough, because the magazines are saying it, the videos are saying it, the music industry is saying it, the arts are saying it, you know, your community are saying it. So you obviously, like, that will always have an impact in your upbringing, because, you know, mentally you kind of have that installed in your head from the past. But it took me a very long time to, first of all, appreciate what I have. The most important thing in this world is to appreciate what you have. And then it took me a very long time to just be like, forget that. I'm going to just do what I want, wear what I want, you know, pose how I like, model, do what I, you know, just do things that make me happy and embrace it. And I think that's what pushed me further. You know, it wasn't just like me trying to make a mark by being a dark skinned girl that wants to model and post pictures, etc. It was the fact that I just couldn't care less anymore what people thought. And I just enjoyed myself. That's what made it more attractable to people. And the photos were liked, and I was able to do, like, different modeling gigs and stuff.
Interesting. Did you, or have you ever lost your cool at this age with someone trying to give you quote unquote free advice on how to look in your appearance?
Not when I was younger. I think the older I was, the more I'd stand my ground and say, you know, well, whatever. But when I was younger, I would actually internalize that and I would be very upset. But I never lost my cool, because at the end of the day, like, some mentalities cannot be changed. I just never let those words affect me now. And if someone does say it, maybe I'll just be, I'm not that person to be very abrupt to another person or try and hurt someone. But at the same time, I would probably just say, I mean, if someone now came to me and said, hey, you should wear lighter colors, I'd just be like, well, I've worn bright yellow and I've worn dark yellow and I feel great and look great. And I just would leave it like that. I wouldn't lose my cool anymore. Those kind of words and those kind of information will never impact me now, because I know that it's them internalizing their own thoughts and fears, etc. And I don't want that to be, I don't want that energy into my circle, if that makes sense. That's why I'm very, very picky with who I keep around me, because you just can't have those negative words or negative energy around you, because you'll only, you know, you just won't feel good, and you can't do great if you've got that energy around you.
I have this image of you, and this is me, so I apologize, but I just have this image of you. If a person were to come up with their free advice towards you, and next minute you just have this look of, I wish you would say something. And while you're saying that, I just have this image of Carly just coming out in the shadows behind you, all arms ready with weapons ready. Like, say, go on,
ready.
Say something. I wish you
say
would.
Say what you want to say. A lot of people won't say those things to my face, which is hilarious. I don't care what they say behind my back, but I'm sure a lot of people won't say that to my face. I have heard that. I have. Some people think that I have that in me, but I actually don't.
I don't know. When a person says to me they don't have a certain trait within them, I just think,
No, I would. No, don't get me wrong. I have switched. But again, a person that is irrelevant in my life will not see that.
Of course.
People that are close to, like my husband, my mother, of course they've seen me, you know. Of course I'm not perfect. They've seen me go crazy. But it's not for everyone.
Of course.
Like, I'm not going to do that to a person. I'll only, and it's not intentional. I don't know why. I just feel people that I'm closer to will see that side of me because they're closer to me. And they understand that side of me. And ultimately, like, you know, they see the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So you've mentioned earlier that art can be subjective, and mm-hmm. you've taken some fantastic images, and I've seen pictures of you that are amazing. But let me ask you this, what does beauty mean to you?
Great question. Beauty. So for me, beauty is for me a smile on a face and a good heart. I see beauty within more than I actually look at it in external features. I look at it within. If someone has a beautiful soul, it is kind, you know, loving, generous, open, you know, warm. That's what beauty is for me. I'm going to say this, but I have a friend who's absolutely stunning. She's a model. But what makes her beautiful to me, you know, even though she is a model and she's stunning, she's like facially gorgeous, etc., and aesthetically beautiful. She's tall and model-esque. What attracts me to her truly is her internal beauty, because she's never walked in a room without a smile on her face. She exudes like warmth and welcomingness, and that ultimately attracts me to her. And I think that's the most powerful beauty you can have, is your internal beauty, your heart, your soul. So that's how I feel.
Okay. All right. And what to you, on the physical sense of things, is a beauty trait? What part of the human body would you say, that's beauty right there?
Someone's eyes. I think eyes are really telling of a person. So not only are they like beautiful, you know, people have their own opinion on what a beautiful eye, you know, not just eye color. I mean, like when you look into someone's eyes, you know, they have, they say you can look into someone's soul through their eyes. I think that's kind of true. You can see it. You can truly sense a person through their, you know, through their eyes, by looking into their eyes. So I wouldn't say a particular eye shape is beautiful, but I say eyes in general, like if you, eyes are very attractive. I think so. Great eyes. I don't know if I look at, like, even if I was to say, what do I find attractive about my husband? I don't think I would particularly pinpoint like a particular body part or a, you know, a feature. I just, I don't know. But if I had to, it would be eyes.
All right, so let us segue into what would be, or what is your affirmation or quote that you are bringing to this episode of The Swinging Palm Trees?
I would say, be grateful with what you have, because there is someone that doesn't have that.
Okay, be grateful for what you have, because someone else doesn't have it or have that. Could you cite an example in which this means quite a lot to you?
Yeah, just like my family. Like sometimes I'm so focused and goal driven of trying to achieve things in life, and you know, everyone's like, oh, at 30 I need to have achieved this, I have to achieve this. Sometimes you forget to actually enjoy what you have, and in the end of the day you look back and you're like, damn, I was so focused on the future that I didn't really enjoy what I, you know, what in the present. And you know, I mean, that can give you another affirmation as well, like being in the present moment and enjoying the present moment. But I say I'm grateful because sometimes I look at it like, oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. But I just turn around, and my husband says this to me. He says it to me all the time whenever I go into one of my swings or moods. He'll just be like, look what you have. You know, you have a loving husband, a daughter, parents that love you, and you know, you know, I moved all the way to America, and I've, you know, started a whole new life. And I just was not focused on that. I was focused on, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that, that I forgot that I'd done so much, and that I was, should have been grateful, not should have, but should have, you know, enjoyed what I have, and look around and see the happiness around me. Because the more grateful you are, you know, you fulfill your life through that, by being through gratitude. Because if you're grateful for the people around you, grateful for what you have, you can only open your arms and heart out to what else there is in the world. If you're so miserable, you're just going to attract the wrong attention. you're not going to be attracting good energy. You're not going to be opening up. You're not going to be attracting opportunities in life if you're just miserable. So, yeah, it was just appreciating my, I was learning to appreciate my life. And more importantly now, because I moved to LA and I felt like I needed to have achieved so much or done so much. And I've put a lot of pressure on me, but it had only been 6 months I had moved to LA and I was being really negative. And I didn't realize that I live in a beautiful house. I have a beautiful family. My daughter's growing and healthy and happy. You know, those little things I should like look, sit back and just enjoy. And the more I do that, the more at peace I am, the more at peace I am, the more opportunities, the more, you know, openness and welcoming of others. And it's just like a rolling cycle. You only attract what you feel within.
So from this affirmation of being grateful, and that gratefulness has taken you to America, to which you've got yourself a lovely, handsome husband and a gorgeous, gorgeous daughter. But first of all, let's talk about your husband. And if you don't mind me asking, he is a black guy, yes?
Yes, he is African-American.
He's African-American. Going back to family, and I'm not talking of your immediate family, talking about the society or culture that you left behind, what were their thoughts? And not that you should be concerned about it, because they can go and take a flying leap, but what were your thoughts about them knowing that you were marrying an African-American?
It was, so no one has said this to my face from my non-immediate family, but I know that my parents were concerned about, you know, what the community would say. So ultimately, I understand that a black man being married to a black man is definitely not heard of, but also not publicized. That's what it is. Mixing cultures, and et cetera. And no one said this to my face, but I'm sure people have spoken behind my back and said, oh, she's married to a black man or something like that. But there's a negative stance to it, which is upsetting. But at the same time, it's ignorance. And, you know, a lot of people don't know any better. They think what they see in the media is what it is in real life. For example, I married a musician. So they think ultimately the rappers that you see on the TV screen, you know, they just date women and have babies with women and all of this stuff. That's it. That's their perception of, you know, black rappers. They're all rappers in general. For example, my husband's not a rapper, but I'm just trying to give you an example. You know what the media presents about the black population, not so now, because I feel like we have grown as a community in the UK. You know, the media has actually, There's a lot of improvement to be made, but, you know, there are black people in position of power, etc. But for a very long time growing up, you'd see on the news, you know, how the media portrays the black community. So that combined with the ignorance within our community of not going outside of our boundaries to just stay within South Asian people, right, just builds a negative connotation. So me going out there and saying I've fallen in love with a black man and that's who I'm going to marry may have ruffled a lot of feathers within my family. But like you said, I don't care what people think because I have a loving, beautiful family. But and no one said anything. Basically, no one said anything to my face. But I'm sure there have been people that have made a comment about me marrying not only out of the race, but to a black man.
Once again, you should have that image of Carly coming behind you with all the swords saying, I wish you would make a comment.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. No one will say it to my face.
Yeah.
But I'm not stupid. I know that there have been people talking, but I just don't care.
Well, take it from someone who's also married to a Tamilian, and I'm Nigerian. I mean, at least your husband is African-American. For many people, have they not said it to my face, but I can just tell, I can just read.
They're thinking something.
Body language. Mm. They say that, oh, she married a Nigerian. And of course, there's this idea, this notion that Nigerians are fraudsters and 419. I say, okay. And when you see how they behave, and sometimes I can actually read people's lips when they talk at times, because I do photography and I like to look at people.
Right.
That does sound a bit stalkish. But anyway, And I've actually heard someone say once without thinking I could hear, they said carpally.
Oh, to yeah. Me.
Now, for those of you who are figuring out what does carpally mean, go figure. It's quite a derogatory term said amongst the Tamil community. It's equivalent to what some people would say in America towards black people. So, yeah, go figure it out. So I know exactly what you mean. So may I just say, be strong. Don't give a flying toss about whatever people say, because at the end of the day, you know, people will be people no matter what. As a matter of fact, I said to one person once, he said to me, oh, what you're doing is so brave. You know, you've married into our culture. That is so forward thinking. And I asked the guy, I said, oh, you've got daughters. How would you feel if your daughter came home with someone who isn't within your community or culture? The person was honest enough not to give me an answer immediately. And I knew right there and then that it's easier said than done.
He wouldn't have let him. Exactly. Right. Exactly. There are people. So, for example, I'm sure there are aunties and uncles out there that have supported me with my choice, but they wouldn't have allowed it for their own child. I'm very grateful that my parents, you know, turned around and supported me. But more importantly, my grandmother, who fell in love with my husband, purely, and I say this because she could see through his heart, like see his heart and see the kind of person he is, you know, just from a conversation. And my grandmother couldn't speak very much in English, and he can't speak very much in Tamil, but they connected in a whole different spiritual level. And my husband loves my grandmother, and my grandmother loves my husband. And when she gave the all clear, I think no one could say anything, because she's of generations behind, right? So obviously you would expect her to be kind of backward thinking, but she wasn't. She said, you know, let my granddaughter follow her heart. And she liked him, and she's like, and it made me the most happiest ever, because I felt like if my grandmother approves it, none of you guys have anything to say. But she's an old soul, so she knows better than everyone else.
Exactly. And she, you know, she's a matriarch. Once again, she would say with, I wish you would say something about my granddaughter.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also great because there you do see relationships are popping up, or we're being told about relationships of interracial relationships, and like Blindian Project. You just go on the stories and you hear their testimonies of what they've had to go through, whereby the family has either been accepting or unforgiving, but the couples are still going strong. Yes, some couples hasn't worked out, but that's like any relationship. Sometimes, they don't work out. Sometimes they do work out. I mean, I've read one story in the Blending Project. They've been together for about 40 years.
Wow.
So imagine 40 years at the time as a black person marrying a brown lady. Or was it a brown lady or a black person, or was it a black woman? I don't know. But it's fascinating knowing that. So there are stories about that.
I was just going to say, like, even in the media now, Kamala Harris, she's of Indian descent and black descent, and she's the vice president of America. Like, it obviously happened back in the days. It's just not heard of until now. You know, it's not publicized until now. And people are like, oh, look, Kamala Harris is like, and some people have the nerve to say that my daughter can be the next president of America because she's American, obviously half American, half English. But it's just interesting that people are now more accepting because there's a vice president that's half Indian and half black. Or half South Asian and half black, you know. It is very much more relevant and more present at this time.
So you say your husband's a musician. What instrument does he play?
He plays all sorts of instruments.
Wait a minute. Is he one of those guys who just has those talented powers whereby he can just pick it up and just do it?
No, I think he'll obviously takes him some time, but he's played all instruments because his whole life was, you know, around music. He studied music, he went to school for music, so it's kind of been in his blood. But he can't just pick up any instrument and just play it, but I'm sure that he would dedicate time to playing it.
Okay, because for a second I was thinking maybe he had superpowers like Jacob Collier, and I was about to say
But you play many instruments, don't you?
No, I only play one. I play the bass guitar. But do you jam with your husband?
I mean, we sing and
I mean, there's always music. There's always jazz music playing at the house from morning till we lay our head. So we always sing whatever songs on our little system, and you know we do, but we never like. I don't think we've ever like properly done anything together. But it's a musical household. Let's just say music is through and throughout the house.
From one musician to another musician, we're going to talk about a lady that I had a guest on in the last episode, and she's a big fan of Beyonce. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going to find mm-hmm. out today whether you're going to take the title of being the biggest fan of Beyonce. So, first of all, what is with your love with Beyonce?
God. Where do I begin? I think it's a performance. She's a killer performer, man. I'm like, oh, I just, anything. I think watching her perform live is the, oh, that's my daughter.
Is
sorry.
That your little one? That's fine.
Yeah. I'm sorry. She's just calm going, hey! She's my mini Beyonce. Anyways, I should not say that. People go think I'm crazy. Beyonce performs like unbelievably, and I think also as an artist, she's very private, and I think I love that about her. She's very private about her life, so very much about everything about her is her music and her performance. Obviously, don't get me wrong, her marriage to Jay-Z, the union, whatever, like, you know, those are all things that add to her fame and fortune, whatever. But for me, what got me to Beyonce is when I saw her perform live, not even on stage, like face to face, a live performance on YouTube or something. I was like, wow, this woman can perform. She can sing, belt out a tune, and still dance. Like, how she's superwoman. That's how I feel. And then I saw her perform live, and I was like, my dreams have come true. Yeah, I do love her a lot.
There's a YouTube clip of Beyonce going into the crowd, and mm-hmm. she's interacting during her performance. And there's one particular member of the audience who is given the mic.
And oh, which one? I know loads.
Oh, you should check it out on YouTube. Bless her. She was so starstruck that the words, she just tumbled over her words. They were like,
wait, Beyonce gives the mics for people to sing?
Yeah, she gives the mic to
I've seen that. It was really bad. I wouldn't know what I would do as well. It's one of those things, like, you just saw Beyonce is giving you the mic, what do you do?
So speaking of Beyonce giving you the mic, which of her songs would you love to duet with?
That's a question.
Yeah, it is a question.
Oh, that's a hard one. Me, myself, and I. I love that song. That'd be hilarious. I don't know if that would be an easy song to sing with her, but Me, Myself, and I. And also, I love, oh my God, I love all her songs. What, how can I choose?
Well, you have to choose.
I think Me, Myself, and I would be my go-to because I really love that song. And I do play it a lot when I'm feeling a certain way. Even like, oh my God, there's so many. Listen, I'm going to say Me, Myself, and I just for now.
All right, tell you what, let's make it easy for you since you have such a huge appreciation for her catalogue. You'll have a playlist with Beyonce. She's inviting you on stage to do duets with her, and you can only choose 4 songs on the playlist.
4 songs on the playlist. Okay, so Me, Myself, and I would have... I'm going through all the albums to figure out which one. I would say... Maybe not Listen. Listen would be a very tough song to sit with Beyonce. I think I would cry. Me, Myself, and I. Dangerously in Love. This is pretty much the whole first album. I would sing, oh my God, Deja Vu, because I'd want to dance with her. just give it a go, you know, you only live once. And I would put myself and I, deja vu, what did I say, dangerously in love, and oh my god,
from the, I think I'd choose a song from the new album, and that would be, I like the song Bigger on the latest album. I think it's called Bigger, and it's very, it's a beautiful song. And this is only because these are the songs, first of all, the ones of the first album, I obviously have known for a long time, but the Bigger is just because it's recently kind of like a song that I've been listening to a lot. And the words she says, I think, really impacted me in my change in life, like going to, through motherhood. And so I resonated with that. That's the only reason I'm picking that song. Not that I know the song words. I'll just be like, okay, Beyonce, let's do this together. I would love to meet her. Yeah.
So you've chosen four songs that you'd love to duet with Beyonce. And if she were to ask you, what would you like to bring to the table? Would you give her something with the Kalyani Raga or something to do with the dance?
I would do some Carnatic stuff, maybe. Okay. That would be my input to Beyonce as well. But she can probably kill all the ragas anyway. The way she sings her scales and her improvs within the songs, wow. If she was to be, I'm sure she is exposed to Carnatic music, knowing the kind of artist she is, because she studies hella lot. Not that I know her personally. You're the guest, but I studied her a lot, like, you know, I'd always watch behind the scene videos, and I was very much a fan of her artistry than her as a person, if that makes sense. It was her skill set, her training, her everything about how Beyonce became Beyonce the singer was very fascinating to me. So she is very much she studies the arts, so I'm sure she's been exposed to, and she has an inquisitive kind of, like, she does a lot of mixing and matching and everything, so I'm sure she's studied or maybe heard of Carnatic music. But I mean, if she had ventured out and pulled out some Carnatic music, that would be a whole different ballgame. Wow. Beyonce singing some raga, that'd be beautiful. She does. She does a lot of improv, and she does do what we call raga ala bane. She does that in front of, you know, all of her Western songs, some of her Western songs when she performs live anyway. So, you know, it's not something she could not do. She definitely can do it. I must pass it on to her.
So my previous guest, Ada, said that believes that Beyonce has never tried real Nigerian pepper soup. And you can listen to that episode and see exactly why Ada said that. What Tamilian cuisine would you want her to try? This is Beyonce.
I would like her to try, like, authentic rice and curry, like traditional vegetarian curries and rice, etc. But I think she would favor Kodroti. Because I think Kodroti is kind of like something that the Western world have taken under their wings and enjoyed more than they would the traditional, like, curries and rice, because the spices and flavors are very distinct. And it takes a certain palate to really enjoy that. Not everyone. Like, I'll tell you, I have a lot of African-American family, or not just African-American, American family, that haven't been exposed to Tamil culture like that. So they don't know the spices, the flavors, and if they had Indian food, it's very westernized, watered down Indian food, right? So I'm sure she might not be of the same palate. But then again, Beyonce travels the world and does all sorts. I don't know. She might be. But if I give her something, sorry, I've diverged. If I give her something, it would be Kodroti and mutton rolls.
And mutton rolls, okay. Well, listen, before we go, because the little one is calling out and having...
Can you hear her? Sorry.
Do not apologize. You're a mum. And so, first of all, thank you so much for coming on this episode. I know you have to go back because you need to get ready for the day and what have you. You know your quote with regards being grateful that you said earlier? Could you say that in Tamil or variation of it?
Oh, my God, no. I could ask my mom.
Okay.
Should I do that? I don't know. Mom, can I borrow you for a second? How do you say be grateful for what you have in Tamil?
Nandriyayirukku.
Okay, all right, there you go.
Okay, so Nandriyayirukku venum. Being thankful. Thankful is another word for grateful, I guess, being the same thing. So Nandriyayirukku venum. There you go. I done it. I tried it. Don't judge me.
Well, to your mother.
I can speak Tamil, but certain things I wouldn't be able to.
To your mum, may I just say Nandriyanti.
Nandriyanti. Thank you.
Okay, well, Takshani, thank you so much for coming on to the episode. How can people be in touch or see some of your work?
Through Instagram, really. I think I haven't cleared my Instagram. So if you wanted to see some of my art, you'll see my art in Instagram. If you want to hear me sing back in the days, you'll see that on Instagram. Everything's on Instagram. I think I'm going to use that as my little portal to put everything on. So my Instagram is Takshani1. But yeah, that's the best place to get me.
Okay. And on that delightful note, Takshani, thank you for coming on. And until next time. Oh, before I say that, you can listen to this episode on any streaming platform. And until next time, be well and...
I'm so sorry.
And until...
There you go. Shani featuring her daughter.
And until next time, be well and pack some Hibiscus.